I'm going to tell you a story about 12 spies. 12 spies that were sent into the promised land. This is the whole story about how when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And where were they headed? Canaan, the promised land, right? They were headed to the promised land, and they were going to go, and God had given them a dream. He had given them a promise and said, this is where I'm going to take you. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you to a place that you had never imagined before. I'm going to give you a dream for what you want and what you need. And so they traveled, and they were standing at the threshold of this dream. They were standing at the threshold of this promise that God had given them. And they said, well, let's send in some spies to check it out. Now, the first thing I want you to notice is that God never told them to send spies. Sometimes we try to figure things out before God does. We try to figure things out instead of just believing God and going in and possessing what he tells us. We need to learn to trust God for our dreams, for where God is taking us. But anyway, going back, they send in the 12 spies, and what do they find? The Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 13, it tells us all about how they go in and they see all these great and mighty cities. They see these great and mighty people. They see the fruit, and it says in the Bible that they even cut down a stalk of grapes, a bunch of grapes. They cut them down and brought them back as proof of what was in the land. And it was so large that they had to carry it on a pole between two men. Now, that's some grapes. I love me some grapes, y'all. Some green, good green, tart grapes. Man, I love that kind of stuff. But they brought them back in, and they told them all about the grape produce. They told them all about the milk. They told them all about the honey. They told them all about the Aldis that they were putting up all over the town and all this other kind of stuff. They told them about everything that they had. And then they said, but we also saw a bunch of giants. There were people that were huge. They were giant people. I mean, now to me, giant is probably about like this, like my son. But to them, they were saying, we saw the descendants of the Nephilim and the descendants of Anak in this town, in these towns, and they were just giant and they were scary, and they looked at us and we looked like grasshoppers next to them, and they even thought so too. I'm going to come back to that here in just a minute. But they said all of that. That's the history behind this. They were telling all the, or 10 of these spies were telling all of these, all of the people about this. And as they were telling them, they said, we can't take the land. It's too big. The people are too big. There's too much going on. And then in verses 1 through 4 of chapter 14, it says, then all the congregation raised a loud cry, and the people wept that night. And the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They started complaining. Now, how many of y'all ever had a child complain to you or whine? Yet, I want to hear your best whine voice. Just say, I don't want to. Listen, they started complaining. And they said, would that we had died in the land of Egypt. Or that we had died in this wilderness. If we could have just died in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us into this land? Is anyone else getting annoyed by this voice? You know, God gets annoyed with our complaining. We'll sit there and complain about stuff when he's already got everything planned out, and he's looking down going, I never told you to send spies in anyway. It ain't my fault that you feel like this. This is your fault. Because I told you to go possess the land. I didn't tell you to spy it out. Anyway, a whole nother message. Our wives and our little ones will become prey. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Let's pray. Father God, right now I pray that your words will be powerful, my words will be few. And that, Lord, you would have your will and your way in this place. Let us learn to dream together. In Jesus' name, everybody said. And, Lord, don't let me fall off the stage again. Okay. Listen. We just, this series that we're in is meant to bring us together. Everybody say together. It's meant to teach us the power of together. When we come together as one, that was our first week. When we come together as one, we are stronger and more powerful than anything that we could ever be alone. Why? Because when we come together, our efforts are multiplied. We can lift one another up. We can strengthen one another. When somebody gets tired, we can build them up. Those kind of things. When we come together, we are stronger and more powerful because of the connection we have with each other. Then we also learned when Pastor Anthony was here, we are meant to grow together. Everybody say grow. We're meant to grow together and develop each other, encourage one another, and learn from one another. Amen? And then God desires, we also talked about how God desires for us to pray together. Everybody say pray. Turn person next to you and say, you better be praying. Pray together. We learned that we need to pray together because we help lift one another's burdens and lighten the load. I don't know about y'all, but I need my load lightened every now and then. I need somebody to help me out. I noticed Steve is the only one that stood up to help me up from down here. Okay. Do what? Dennis did? I didn't see that either, brother. But listen, I know who my true friends are. No, I'm kidding. But I needed somebody to help. He's with me back there, guys. But listen. But we need somebody to help lighten the load. And we are called to worship together and recall the greatness of God. Everybody say worship. I long for the day when we worship as one, standing before the throne. And His power is just unleashed in a tidal wave. That the broken are mended. That those in shackles are freed. Today, though, I want to talk to us about a dream. I want us to dream together. Turn to some person next to you and say, you better dream. Say, you better dream. We just refreshed our memory of the dream that God had for His people. He had a promise for them years before they were standing in this land. He had promised them a land of their own. He had promised them that they would be a great people. He had promised Abraham years ago that his descendants would be as numerous as the sand. That they would be as numerous as sand. That he would be their God and that they would be his people. The dream of one day being a nation united and in a land that he has called them to. That was his dream for his people. Now God has a personal dream for you. He has something specifically for you. He has something that he wants you to do. He has something, a destiny to be fulfilled and a promise that he has planted deep inside of you. Lou Engle, I saw this quote this weekend. Lou Engle puts it this way. When God created you, he took a dream and wrapped a body around it. That's what you are. Not only does he give you a dream, you are his dream. He has something for you that is specific for you. Something that is specifically how he wants you to live and how he wants you to do things. He has a destiny to be fulfilled and a promise that he has planted inside of you. One of those promises and one of those dreams is that you will dwell with him forever in eternal life, to be called and chosen, to be a part of the family of God. We're one big family, right? That's why we get on each other's nerves some days too. Because family doesn't always get along. Family doesn't always get along, but some are more specific. Some of our dreams are more specific. Some of them are more detailed. And some of us have a specific dream in our lives. God has a special dream for us as a church. He wants us to make an impact on our community and across the world, to be a place where the broken are mended and the lost are found. That's his dream for us. We're supposed to be that. That's why he tells us to love one another, to be a place where they can be mended, a place where people experience God and the love that he has, a place where we discover our purpose. A place where we can invest in the kingdom and invest in what God wants us to do. If we are ever going to achieve those dreams that God has for us as a church and us as a people, we have to dream together. Somebody say, dream together. But what the question is this, what happens if we don't? What happens if we don't? Because see, I want to talk to you a little bit, because the Israelites, they were sitting there and they were all set to go in, and they were all set to take in the promise of God. But then they faltered. They stopped dreaming together and they started looking at the problems. They started looking at the issues. They started looking at the struggle. They started looking at what could happen. And they started having problems and issues. You want to know something? Those that never possessed the dream or the promise of God, we can learn something from these Israelites about what happens, the common thread with them. Those that never reach the promise of God and never reach that dream and possess that dream, they tend to blame other people. You ever known somebody that it was never their fault? Don't point. Don't point at your husband. Come on. You ever known somebody that was never their fault, though? It doesn't matter what happened to them. They themselves are never at fault for anything. We had a guest in our house when I was little. His name was not me. And he probably stayed at some of your houses when your kids were small, too. Who did this? Not me. Who broke this? Not me. And it's never our fault. I think I've told this story before. I fell down the steps one time. Not today, but... All right, Claire, me and you are going to have a talk later. she said, one time, I fell down the steps one day when me and my brother were wrestling, and I fell into my brother. My dad had this little, he didn't need a cane at the time, but he had this little walking cane that he liked to mess with when he went out walking and that kind of, and I fell against that cane and broke it. Like a good little boy, I picked it up, thought about telling my dad, said, nah. And I took the top of it, stuck it back on there, and wedged it in there to where it would stick. And I leaned it barely up against the wall. And my dad, next time he walked by, went by and grabbed it. Shrink! Who did this? Not me. People that are not, they can't be blamed for anything. People, they come up with excuses. They're late to work. Well, see, it wasn't my fault. It was the train. The train stopped me. Never mind, you left 15 minutes before you, 15 minutes after you were supposed to be at work. Or maybe your kids get a bad grade on a test. It ain't my fault, Mama. It ain't my fault, Daddy. She asked questions that she never went over. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's the case. Anybody ever heard that excuse before? Listen, or maybe there's an issue with technology, and we blame the technology instead of the operator. Anybody ever done that? I know we ain't ever done that. Listen, we had an issue Wednesday night. I could not get the sound to come through for some reason. I was sitting there, this stupid app, it is not working right. And all of a sudden, I look about 3 or 4 minutes later, I'm looking through it, and I look through it, and I go, oh. And there was one button I had forgotten to press. And then I hit that button, and miraculously, the sound came out. I started blaming technology when it was really my fault. Those who never possess the promise of God will blame other people. When we fail to achieve the dream that we believe that we deserve or that we believe God has promised us, many times we turn to others and start pointing fingers. Well, it's because my mom and daddy didn't treat me right. That's the reason why I act the way that I am. My daddy had an anger issue. That's the reason why I act the way that I do, and I can't get rid of it. My parents never gave tithes, and they didn't teach me right about giving tithes. That's the reason why I don't give tithes. They never taught me how to budget. They never taught me what I needed to do. They never taught me that cussing was wrong. They never taught me that drinking was wrong. They never taught me that this was wrong. They never taught me that that was wrong. And we start blaming other people, and we say, well, I'm a product of my environment. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We can be products of our environment, and it will impact our lives. But we choose to stay that way. If we ever want to step into the dream, we can sit here in this building and say, well, we're not in the main part of the city, or we don't have the facilities that some of these other churches have, or we don't have the money that this church over here has, and we don't have the musicians that this church has. That's the reason why. No. God didn't call us to be them. He called us to be us. He didn't call us to fulfill their dream. He called us to fulfill our dream. The dream that God has given us specifically. We can sit here and we can whine and complain. Would that God would send us the right people when we haven't invited anybody to church in years. Anybody with me? I done fell. I gotta redeem myself now, so I'm going to come down hard. All right, y'all, I'm going to come down hard on y'all the way I did on that floor. But listen. We need to understand that we need to stop pointing fingers. This is what the Israelites did at the doorway of their promise. Numbers 14:2. And the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. They started complaining about their leaders. You know what? It's Moses and Aaron's fault. They took us the wrong way. They didn't treat us right. He hit the rock instead of talking to it. And it's his fault that we did this. It's his fault that we're in this situation. It's his fault. Why couldn't he have taken us to a place where there were no giants? It may not have had as much fruit. It may not have had as much stuff. But why didn't they take us somewhere else? Why didn't they do this? Why didn't the pastor preach the message that I liked? Why didn't the worship team sing the worship song that I really enjoy? Why don't we have Sunday school anymore? Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? Listen, it's not about the leader. It's about you stepping into the dream that God has called you to step into. And listen, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but I believe that God has got us here for a reason, and we need to dream together again. We can't blame other people. When they felt the dream was unattainable and that they would never reach the promise, they automatically blamed Moses and Aaron. At the slightest opposition to the dream of God inside of us, sometimes we look for someone and say, it's their fault, I can't get there. The pastor's not feeding me. The worship isn't the best in the world. The people aren't as friendly as they should be. We don't do enough outreach. We do too much outreach. The buildings need to be worked on. We spend too much money on the building. We do this, we do that, and we start blaming everything else. It's because we just don't have the people anymore. Wrong. Every person in here has the ability to speak the word of God. Every person in this building has the ability to witness to somebody. Every person in this building has the ability to witness to somebody and ask them to come to church with them. Every single one of us, myself included. Because I can't expect you to do something I'm not willing to do myself. That's the reason why I give online. That's the reason why I give my tithes. That's the reason why I witness to people every time I'm out. That's the reason why I give away those cards, those invite cards, like it's money to people. I'm like, here, you want a card? You get a card. You get a card. You get a card. All of a sudden, I turn into Oprah. Everybody gets a card. The slightest opposition to the dream of God inside of us, and we look to say, I can't get there. In our marriage, in our business, in our children, in our finances, in our health. Well, if my wife would if she would have supper waiting for me when I got home, my life would be a whole lot easier. If my husband would pick up his underwear on his side of the bed, my life would be a whole lot easier. If people would reach out to us, we'd feel more welcome. God has already sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. How much more welcome do you need to feel? It's that pass the buck syndrome. You always pass it on to somebody else. It started with Adam and Eve. Because who did God go to first? He went to Adam. He said, hey, son, what'd you do? He's like, well, you see, God, it wasn't me. It was this woman. Number one, don't ever call your wife this woman. All right, brother, calm down. Don't ever look at her and say, this woman did this. Because number one, you're about to get slapped. But he said, this woman is the one that you started. She's the one that did this. And then God said, okay. He walked over to Eve, said, okay, Eve. He said it was you. Now, what did you do? And she went, what? It wasn't me. It was this snake. Is that pass the buck syndrome? Again, it's never their fault. It's never their fault. We have the tendency to do the exact same thing. We have to learn that the success or failure of the dream and the purpose of God that God places inside of us is not reliant on other people or on what other churches do. Your dream does not rely on somebody else in this room. Isaiah 54, people cannot block the purpose and the blessings of God. People are not allowed to do that. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Isaiah 14:27, for the Lord of hosts has purposed. In other words, what he has decided to do, he will do. He has purposed, and who will annul it? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? God, when God stretches his hand out, no human being, no person, no church, nobody can reach out and go, no, God. When God decides to do it, he's going to do it, whether you like it or not. Because he is sovereign. We cannot stop God. The people of the land did not stop the Israelites. I want you to notice that. The people of the land never even said a word to them. They never even came against them. They didn't stop the Israelites. Moses and Aaron did not stop the Israelites from achieving the dream that God had for them. It was a choice of the people to look at their circumstance and say, God promised it, but he couldn't deliver. What situation in your life have you looked at and said, God has promised me this, but he didn't deliver? It's his fault. Again, you're blaming God. No. We don't blame God for that. We have to learn that the dream ahead of us will not always be easy to achieve, and sometimes we have to fight for it and not find someone to blame for our lack of progress. Don't blame God for you being stuck in the mud. Don't blame God for you being stuck where you're at because you've decided you're not going to move in a certain area in your life. The dream is there for you to possess, but we got to stop pointing at others and start saying, God, what inside of me is keeping me from my dream? What am I sending spies out to look at? And I go, that it doesn't look good, God. I don't know if I can do it right now. Well, can't you send me to some place that's easier? Can't you take me to a place that's a little easier for me to get to? Listen, God's dream for you is full of power and progress, but we've got to step into it and stop blaming other people. Another thing that people do when they don't possess the dream. When they end up where they can't possess the dream, they point a finger at other people, but they also get stuck in the past. You ever known somebody that gets stuck in the past? There are people that just can't let go of who they used to be. There's a good place to go and find people like that at a football game. Because you're going to find 40 and 50-year-old men wearing their high school football jersey that didn't fit when they were in high school screaming, when I was a football player back in the day, and they can't let go of it. They usually have a mullet. Okay. They live in the past. Although mullets are making a comeback, I don't know why, but they are. Listen, we all know those people that say, well, back in the good old days, Back when we were in this building, or back when God was doing this, the Israelites were obsessed with looking backwards. Numbers 14:3-4. Would it not be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us choose a leader and go back to Egypt. We can never arrive at our dream and destiny by refusing to leave where we've been. You cannot possess what's in front of you while you're looking behind you. You cannot take hold of the gift of God that's right in your hands when you're too busy holding on to what he gave you last time. Are you with me? Philippians 3:4 or 3:14, we have to venture out. We have to venture out and press forward. Philippians 3:14, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call. Going up is hard. Going up a hill is hard. Going up and moving up a ladder is hard. Zach, who be in prayer for his grandmother. She is in the hospital right now. Zach told me a story of him and Winston when they were changing a ballast right up here. It was shortly after I got here, or shortly after I was voted in as the pastor here. And he told me a story about how they were going to change that ballast. And he said that he looked at that ladder, and Winston got on up there. And he said, Winston, I'll come up, but I can't look down because I'll be in trouble. And he said he climbed up that ladder, and going up is hard. But he got all the way up there, and then all of a sudden, a tool or something that they were using fell. And without thinking, Zach let his eyes follow it. And he looked down, and all of a sudden, his knees went weak. And he said, Winston, I got to get down. That's what happens when we look behind us when the road ahead is hard. We look ahead and we say, God, that road is really tough. How are we ever going to fill this building? How am I ever going to achieve that ministry? How am I ever going to reach my family? How am I ever going to do that? And when we look back and see how easy that road, that we've already been on that road, something we're more familiar with. See, that's the thing. We look back and we're more familiar with it. We know that it's safe. And we're like, you know what, God, this part is safe. Why can't I just stay here? We're not called to go backwards, church. We're called to look forward. We're called to move past what the past is. It's sort of like an old movie. Again, y'all know I'm a movie buff. Y'all know I love animated movies. Anybody ever heard of the movie Shrek? I've used it before. Okay, weird movie to use in church. Hang with me. Those of you that don't know the movie, it's about an ogre and a donkey. And they talk, and they there's a lot of jokes and a lot of stuff. But they're going to save the princess. And the ogre is forcing this donkey out on this footbridge, this crossing bridge between these mountains. And it's real broken and rickety and just rough and all that kind of stuff. And he's forcing this donkey out. And they're being funny while they're doing it. And he's kicking him out there and all this stuff. And he finally tells the donkey, oh, you're halfway there. And the donkey hollers out, yeah, but I know that half is safe. That's the way we look at our past. I know that past is safe, God. If we step out and we pay for this, if we step out and do that, if we step out and I say this or I start this ministry, I don't know what's going to happen. That's part of it, though, because a dream is going to remain a dream until you step into it and make it be fulfilled. If you're with me, say, I am. We need to move forward. We can't get stuck in the past. We tend to look back where we're comfortable. Move forward into the dream. Move forward into the dream, the destiny that God has for you. Don't settle for what once was. Always look for what will be. Always look for where God is calling us. People that never achieve their dreams, never achieve the dream of God, they've accepted their loss before the battle's begun. They see the difficulty of reaching their dream and they determine that they'll never make it. The Israelites had not drawn one sword yet and they had already determined that they were dead and the dream that God gave them was dead. Numbers 14:3. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land? To fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones will become prey. They had already given up on their future. They had already... We're dead! We're dead. They're hollering, we're dead. There's no way we're going to do this. We're all dead. They're going to steal our wives or kill our children. And the thing is, they had given up before they ever drew a sword, not realizing that the battle was not theirs, but it was the Lord's. That not realizing that God had already set out a destiny in front of them, not going out and possessing that dream. They had already given up. How many of us walk around defeated in our Christianity and in our hope and in the dreams that God places inside of us before we ever begin a journey with God? God, I don't know if I can do that. No, that's there ain't no way I'm going to be able to do that. And we argue with God. The thing is, when we argue with God, you know he eventually wins, right? I've argued with him plenty of times. I've always come out on the losing end. I am oh and whatever. And it's going to remain that way. Are you willing to fight for your dream, or have you given up because the task seems too big for you? You know, God, I've heard it said that God will never give you a dream that you can achieve yourself, because he will never give you a life that where he is not necessary. God will never give you a life where he is not necessary. If it wasn't bigger than you, God wouldn't be involved. Desire the dream. People get stuck in the past. People blame other people. They give up in the fight before they ever die. They give up and they're dead before they ever fight. And then also they desire the dream, but they lack the vision needed to get there. That's the last problem that we have. We cannot look at spiritual destiny through natural eyes. We cannot look at spiritual destiny through natural eyes. The spies were too focused on what they saw in the natural to see what God can do in the spiritual. They wanted the spoils of the land, and they loved what they saw. They came back, look at these grapes, they're as big as beach balls. They're huge. They got honey everywhere. They got milk everywhere. They got green grass. They've got goats. They've got sheep. They've got everything that we'll ever need. But there's also a problem. Numbers 13:33. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. And we seemed to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seemed to them. Some of us can't receive the dream and destiny that God has for us because we're too busy reminding ourselves of how small we are in our enemy's eyes. Never mind the fact that they have the biggest advocate that they could ever have. They looked to themselves and they said, we're too small. We're too small. Stop looking at your issues through your eyes and look at them through the eyes of your Heavenly Father. And Brother Dorman, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but if Brother Dorman had looked at this cancer through natural eyes, the way that the doctors wanted him to, and the way that other people have probably said, if he had looked at it in natural eyes, he would have said, well, this is it. But when you look through his eyes, when you look through the possibility of who he is, when you look through the promise and through the dream that he gives to us about the fact that by his stripes we are healed, when you look at that dream and you step into it and possess it, you end up like Brother Dorman back there, who has had his last treatment. The spots are shrinking, and he is well on his way to being 100% again. Come on. We've got to be willing to fight for it, though. He could have sat back and said, well, this is it. I'm just going to deal with it. But he didn't. They went aggressive. They started praying. And we prayed with them, and we stood with them. Again, we are together in the fight. That's something else that Dorman and Sheila realized. They can't fight alone. That's why they called us here at the church, and they said, hey, y'all got to pray. Here's the update. Here's what's going on. And I so appreciate them doing that, because it lets us have a small part of that miracle. And we're praying that God sends that complete healing. Come on, stretch your hands out towards Brother Dorman right now. Complete healing in the name of Jesus. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Complete healing. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, give him praise. There ain't nothing like the view of a dad of his children. Kids, they look and they see how small they are, but dad always looks down and says, you're strong enough. You're good enough. You're big enough. You can do this. It doesn't matter how you see yourself. What the world thinks of you is worthless and meaningless. What matters is what God sees in you. If he plants a dream inside of you, it's because he sees the ability to fulfill that dream and that destiny inside of you. God wouldn't plant it there unless he knew it could come out. God don't waste seed. He's got a seed inside of you that he's waiting to break through the surface. See, and this is the final part. Everybody's like, dude, this is so negative. You're telling us about all the stuff that people can't do and the reason why. Well, we need to take a note from Joshua and Caleb because there were two spies that had a good report. We need to take a note from Joshua and Caleb. When doubts come, this is the first one, when doubts in the dream come, remind yourself of God's faithfulness. Numbers 14, 6, and 7. And Joshua, the son of Nun, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, the land which we passed through to spy out, it is an exceedingly good land. They didn't mention one negative thing. They knew that their God was faithful. They knew that God promised them years ago, I'm going to bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to give you a land to possess that is your own. And they said, you know what? This is a good land. Our God is a good God. He has brought us to the right place at the right time. It's time for us to go in and get it. It's time for us to go in and strike. We need to take word from that. We need to take initiative from that. They were busy looking at the goodness and the faithfulness of God. They were too busy seeing the goodness and faithfulness of God to be distracted by obstacles. Some of us need to stop looking at the obstacles and look at how good our God is. Yes, the cancer is strong, but my God is stronger. Yes, my marriage is broken, but my God is the healer. Yes, my financial situation is bleak, but my God is a provider. We need to start looking at the solution rather than the problem. When the enemy crowds your vision, remind yourself where God is calling you, not of what stands in your way. So we remind ourselves of his faithfulness. And this is my favorite part. We need to seek to please God, not to lay hold of a dream. The dream is important. And let me explain this a little bit, because some of y'all are going, well, you talked about a dream the entire time. We're supposed to have this great big dream for our church. We're supposed to have this great big dream for us as a people. Well, how are we not supposed to possess that dream if we don't concentrate on that dream? No. I want you to notice something that was said in Numbers 14, 8. The first thing these boys were worried about was not how strong their swords were. It wasn't how strong their spears were. They weren't worried with their horses or their armies. What they were worried with was very simple. In Numbers 14, 8, it says, if the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us. They don't have to possess it. The Lord will lay it down in their hands. If he delights in us, we don't need to reach out and grab a hold of the dream. We've got to make sure we please God and we make him the center of our praise, the center of our worship. We don't worship a dream. We worship the dream giver. We don't worship the one. We don't worship the thing. We worship the creator. Our job is not to do this. It's to do this. To make God smile. I can guarantee you, God smiles on us this Sunday. I can guarantee you, he had a little chuckle when I fell off the stage. I imagine he looked over at his angel and said, did y'all see that? He knew I needed a little humbling. We need to please God. If we learn to please God first, he will bring us into that place he has promised. He will fulfill the dream in us. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all these dreams, all these plans, all these promises will be fulfilled in you. Conquer the fear. This is the last thing. Conquer the fear standing between you and your dream. Numbers 14:9. Only do not rebel. This is Caleb speaking. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Don't fear what's ahead. Don't fear the obstacle. Don't fear where God has taken you. If God has brought you to it, He'll bring you through it. I know that's an old cliche, but it's so true. Remember that what the enemy puts in your way is only a speed bump. Nothing can stand against the power of God. Nothing can make Him change course, and nothing can stop Him. No matter how big the giant or how big the situation, our God is bigger. Our God is stronger. Our God is more powerful than anything that can stand in our way. If you're with me, stand. Stand with me today. If you're with me, say, I am. Can we give God praise real quick? Hallelujah, Jesus. God, right now, I pray for every person that is standing within the sound of my voice, every person that is watching online, every person that has heard any of this message today. Lord, I pray that this is something that we would walk in. Let us walk in the dream. Let us walk in that provision. Let us walk in that place, God. Don't let us blame others. Don't let us get stuck in the past. Don't let us give up before we ever draw a sword. Don't let us want the dream, but forget that we got to work for it some days. Let us remember, God, that You are the giver of the dream. And as long as we please You, that's the most important thing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe God has given you a dream for your life. Maybe you're wondering where your dream is. Let God speak to you right now. If you're in this room in the sound of my voice, or if you're online and you do not know Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior, right now He's reaching out to you and He's holding out that dream saying, listen, I've got a dream for you. I've got a place for you. I've got a purpose for you. I want you. I have chosen you. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. There is a purpose in you. There is a seed of destiny that is planted in you. And God speaks to you today and says, I don't waste seed. If you're in this room and that's you today, and you feel like you need that seed watered today, you need to give your life to Christ, or you need to give it all to Him, whatever that situation, if that's you, then right now I just ask you to raise your hand in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. I want everybody to lift both hands up to heaven right now. And I ask everyone in the room to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, today I give You my life. I give You my dreams. I give You my purpose. I am Yours. Let the seed of destiny in me be watered and sprout forth fruit, so that I can be what You've called me to be. So that I can possess the dream You have for me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we give God praise?